Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Good to be with you. Today is Friday, January 31st, and we are wrapping up our week of National Lutheran Schools Week. It has been a fun week here. We've had a lot of guests in the studio, and we have a few more. We've got a full studio today and a full house outside the studio. All the folks from Trinity Lutheran School in Red Bud, Illinois, are here today, and they're hanging out and cheering on their friends and the students and teacher from Trinity Lutheran School in Red Bud, Illinois, in just a little bit. And coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to talk with our friends from CCCS, Lead a Child. We're going to talk with them about Christian education around the globe, how they're bringing Christian education to people, to children all around the world. So I hope you can join us for the whole program today. Lots of great stuff to talk about and hear how God is using Christian education to strengthen the lives of children and their families. Well, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, look for the sponsor section and click on the CUW logo in the sponsor section there, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out about the great programs they have to offer and where they're located. Go check it out, kfuo.org. Well, as promised, joining us in studio today, our guests are students and a teacher from Trinity Lutheran School in Red Bud, Illinois, and we're going to give them the chance to share their perspective, their Lutheran school today, what they like about it, and their perspective. So we'll keep the listener lines closed for now, but we'll give them a chance to talk. So we're going to go around the room and give everybody a chance to be introduced. Let's start with this gentleman over here. What's your name, sir, and what grade are you in?
Easton, I'm in fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Easton, what's your favorite subject?
Social.
Social? As in social studies?
Yes.
Very good. What do you like about social studies?
It teaches history and
You like history? Very good. Very good. And let's go to our next guest here. Who is next? What's your name?
Emily.
Emily, what grade are you in and what's your favorite subject?
Second in math.
What do you like about math?
I like to count.
Yeah? Very good. Very good. All right, let's go to our next guest. And who do we have over here?
I'm Bree.
Bree, what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
Sixth grade, and what's your favorite subject?
Music.
Really, music. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that you happen to be here with your music teacher today, huh?
Yes.
Very good. What do you like about music?
I like to sing.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Very good. And I have to add that the students sang for us in chapel today at the International Center here, and it was great music. One of my favorite hymns from Tanzania, I believe, Listen, God is Calling. So thanks for singing that this morning.
You're welcome.
Let's go to our next guest.
I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. What grade are you in?
Eighth.
Eighth grade. And what's your favorite subject?
Science.
What do you like about science?
You get to learn like all new different things. About, like, everything.
About everything, about the world that God created all around us. Very good. Who's your teacher for science?
Mr. Bauman.
Very good. Very good. And also joining us in studio today, Ms. Moratsky, Ms. Judy Moratsky. And tell us a little bit about what you do at Trinity Lutheran School in Red Bud.
I teach the third and fourth grade. That's my homeroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach kindergarten through eighth grade music. And that's what I do. We're a small school.
Uh-huh. How many students and I could probably stand here and try to count all of them. How many students are at Trinity?
Through kindergarten through eighth grade, we have 53. And our preschool, I believe, has 20.
Wow.
Or a little over 20.
Mm-hmm. And where is, for folks who are listening today, give us an idea of where Red Butter Prairie is located.
When you go from St. Louis, we're about southeast from St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And you get into Red Bud and you go about 5 miles east. And we are located in the country.
It's a little country school.
Little country school.
With a big heart,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, it is.
Very good. Well, let's talk about, I want to hear about your perspective about Lutheran schools and your opportunity to be a student at a Lutheran school. I want to hear about that today. You've talked a little bit about your favorite subject and why you like that subject. What do you hope to be when you grow up? What are your hopes when you grow up? Now I know for Rachel, that's getting pretty close. You're eighth grade, so high school next, and then who knows what after that. But for some of you, that's quite a ways away. What are your hopes and what are your plans? Let's start with Emily. What are your hopes to be when you grow up?
Engineer.
An engineer? Any specific area? No? So do you like science and math?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like math, right? Yeah, very good. Very good. And let's go to Bree. Bree, what are your hopes? What are you planning?
I'd like to be a singer.
A singer? Mm-hmm. A professional singer?
I don't know.
Yeah, very good. And thinking about studying music after grade school, maybe in high school and after that. Very good. And let's go to Easton. What are your hopes, Easton?
I want to be an engineer.
An engineer. So we've got two engineers in the room already. Easton, what do you like about any particular area of engineering that you want to focus on?
Well, I want to do it at my house.
You want to do it at your house. You want to be an engineer at your house. All right. Very good. And Rachel, what are your hopes?
I like to be a veterinarian.
A veterinarian. So I gather you like animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you like? And you like science, too. So that's a good thing. So are you thinking going on to college then after high school?
Yep.
Very good. So if you're a veterinarian, you like animals. Do you have a bunch of pets?
I have a dog.
You have a dog. So you like animals?
Yeah.
Any particular animal that you really want to work with?
Nope. Any kind.
Any kind. And how about you, Miss Morosky? What do you want to be when you grow up?
I think I want to be a teacher in a little country school. I teach third and fourth grade in music.
Very good. Very good. Well, when do you, at a Lutheran school, you get to hear about Jesus, I'm sure. You get to hear God's word. When throughout your day do you hear about Jesus? When do you hear God's word in your day at school? When do you hear about Jesus? Bree?
In confirmation class.
In confirmation class? Mm-hmm. You study God's word. You study the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, but we talk about those here on the Faith and Family program as well. As a matter of fact, next week we get back to the seventh commandment here on Faith and Family. That'll be a good study. So in confirmation class, other times throughout the day that you hear about Jesus. Rachel?
All day, like in the mornings, we have a devotion.
Mm-hmm.
And in science class, we talk about like how like the years can be wrong in evolution.
Ah, so you talk about how God created the world and the truth of how God created the world and other philosophies or other approaches to other thoughts about how the world was created or came into existence and take a look at those myths, right?
Yeah.
Very good. And you show, and in your studies in science, then you learn that God created the world and in a brilliant and intricate way, right?
Yep.
Easton, when do you hear about Jesus? When do you hear God's word at your school?
All day, every day.
All day, every day. Very good. And Emily, when do you hear about Jesus at school?
After our devotions.
At devotions? Very good. Do you, obviously you have music time too. Do you, and you sang for us at chapel. Do you get to sing, songs about Jesus and sing God's word a lot at your school? Yeah. What are some of your favorite songs or hymns that you get to sing?
Onward Christian Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Bree, how about you?
They're all my favorite.
They're all your favorites. You don't have one particular?
No.
Emily? Do you have a favorite song or hymn that you sing at school?
No, I have a lot of favorites.
Easton?
Savior of the Nations Come.
Very good. Savior of the Nations. That's an Advent hymn, isn't it? Yeah. Sang that a lot this year. Well, I'm glad that you have the opportunity to hear about Jesus throughout the day in your devotions, in confirmation class, in your science classes, in all your classes. I'm glad that you get to hear about that, about Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. When you talk with friends, do you have friends who go to other schools? Do you have other friends who go to other schools? Yeah. When you talk with them about your school, what do they think? If they don't know much about your school, what do they think about your school? Do they think it's kind of odd that you talk about Jesus, that you hear about Jesus, you get to study God's word throughout your day at school?
Kinda.
Yeah?
Sometimes.
Do you ever talk about that with your friends, about your school?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bree, what do you talk about when? What do your friends think about your school?
Well, my friends that don't go to our school, they're from another Lutheran school.
Oh,
so
okay.
They think it's pretty cool.
Okay, so you have friends in other Lutheran schools. Anybody else have friends that don't go to a Lutheran school? Easton, what do they think?
My friend, he goes to a public school, mm-hmm. but usually I tell him what our lesson was in religion.
Really? Does he like to listen? Does he talk to you about it?
Yeah.
Cool. Very good. Very good. What when you talk with friends and they don't really know about Jesus, do you think that by attending Trinity Lutheran School and having the opportunity to learn about Jesus all the time, all day long, as all day, every day, as Easton says, does that help you prepare to tell the good news of Jesus to people who don't know about him?
Yeah.
Do you feel more feel confident about talking about Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Emily?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a friend who used to come to our school, and now she's going to public.
Mm-hmm. And so you still get to talk with her about Jesus, much like Easton does, sharing the the lessons from his from school about Jesus with his friends who don't go to a Lutheran school. What? Let's hear from Miss Morotsky now. What led you to consider this vocation of being a teacher in a Lutheran school?
Well, when I was younger, I always babysat children, and I love children. Mm-hmm. I don't want any of my own, and I'm not married, but I've always loved children. And my sister went to St. Paul Concordia in Minnesota, and I think she was my mentor. And she knew I would not do well in a city. I'm a country girl, and she led me over to Seward, Nebraska. And then after that, I was called over to Trinity, and I've been at Trinity since college.
Wow.
So 30 years I've been at Trinity.
You've been a teacher at Trinity Lutheran School for 30 years. That's a milestone.
Yes.
I think that's something to celebrate. Don't you guys outside? Yeah, everybody's cheering for you out there. 30 years at Trinity, that's a great thing to celebrate. And thanks be to God for that. Well, the theme for National Lutheran Schools Week is Witness Always, which reminds us that our greatest task is to tell the good news about Jesus, to tell the facts of his word and his good news. How is good news a part of the education that you're a part of at Trinity as a teacher?
I think the students right here kind of all said it with the teaching that we can teach it in everything, no matter what the class is, and our witnessing, how we work with each other. Being it's a small school, the older children work with the younger ones, and we all know everybody's name. So in a small school, everybody knows everyone, and that, I think, is a blessing, so that we know their families, we know them, and you may not know that in a bigger school.
Sure. Do you like having friends from other grades? Obviously, you probably have friends in your own grade, but do you like having friends from other grades? Rachel, you're the oldest here. Do you like having friends in the younger grades?
Yeah, I do.
Even getting a hug here from Bree. Do you get to serve as a mentor in some ways to some of these younger kids? Do they look up to you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
They like follow like how I act. Some kids do.
How does that, what do you think about that?
I think it's kind of cool because they kind of do what I do.
Yeah?
So.
Is there responsibility that comes with that?
Yeah. You have to like know what to do and what not to do so they don't do the wrong thing.
So you set an example.
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you guys think, Emily and Easton? What do you think about having the opportunity to interact and be friends with older students? Do you like having that at your school?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are some of your friends in the older grades?
Well, I'm friends with everybody in our schools.
Yeah?
So, everybody.
What are some of the things that you look forward to throughout the year at school? Do you have, obviously you have classes all the time. You have classes all day long. What are some of the neat or unique things about your school that you look forward to throughout the year? Do you have any special events or things that you look forward to?
Lutheran Schools Week.
Yeah.
National Lutheran Schools Week. That's a fun week. What do you do during National Lutheran Schools Week that makes it special for you?
We spend time with our classmates.
Yeah.
Doing what? Just visiting?
Doing activities.
Yeah. What kind of activities do you do?
Grandparent Day.
Yeah.
Grandparent and Parent Day.
Grandparent and Parent Day. Very good. So the parents and grandparents come to see your school and spend some time with you at school. And you get to meet everybody else's parents and grandparents too, huh?
Yep.
Any other special activities throughout your school year that you enjoy?
At the end of the year, we have a picnic.
Yeah.
And we have a talent show, we sing, and we get to win prizes.
A talent show, you sing, there are prizes. That sounds like fun.
We have our own show too.
Yeah?
Ice cream.
And ice cream. So a picnic at the end of the year is a lot of fun for you.
Yeah.
How about you, Ms. Morotsky? What's your favorite event? What's your favorite part of the year at school?
Probably the Christmas program.
Yeah.
To get them ready to spread God's word. We have the preschoolers. Some of our preschoolers are not churched. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good opportunity for us to give them the message. And hearing the students, like Pri said, sing, and she's a good singer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But to hear all the children sing, and especially the younger ones that always you know, belt it out. And then hopefully as the older ones get older, they kind of back off a little bit, but they still come out and sing for me, and I do appreciate that.
And I have to say, I was impressed this morning in chapel. You all sang very boldly. You sang with gusto, which is, you know, not every school has children who are prepared to sing so boldly and so confidently God's word, and you did a nice job with that. I could understand the words, the lyrics to the hymn as you were singing. It was great. I really enjoyed and to hear you sing this morning. It was a great time in chapel for us to hear that hymn. Who do you have several teachers? I know some of you have homeroom. Do you change classes in the older grades? In the younger grades, are you in the same classroom most of the day, or do you change classrooms, have different teachers?
We usually have the same teacher all day.
Mm-hmm. And then in the older grades, do you have the same teacher all day, or do you change classes?
We change.
Mm-hmm. Who are your teachers, and who are your favorite teachers? You can give a shout out to your teachers. They're waiting outside.
Miss Boucher and Miss Taggett's.
Miss Boucher, definitely.
Yeah.
Mrs. Boucher is our kindergarten teacher.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Miss Boucher.
Very good. Very good. All the teachers are so happy. Who would you like to thank today? We've got a few minutes left. Who would you like to thank for giving you the opportunity to attend Trinity Lutheran School in Red Bud? Who are the people that that make it special for you, that make it an opportunity for you? Not every child gets to go to a school like Trinity. So are there people that you would like to thank for the opportunity to be a student at Trinity Lutheran School? We'll start down here with Easton, and we'll work our way down.
I would like to thank my grandparents for bringing my dad here so we knew about this school.
So thanks to Grandma and Grandpa for opening that door. Very good. Grandparents are important. They are. They play a big role in our lives. Emily?
I would like to thank my parents and grandparents.
Mm-hmm. What did they do?
I would like to thank my great-grandparents because for them to bringing my grandpa here.
Very good. And Bree, anyone you want to thank for your opportunity to be a student at Trinity Lutheran School?
I'd like to thank my dad because he grew up at this school, mm-hmm. and they just wanted me to grow up with a Christian education.
That's important. Very good. Rachel?
I would like to thank my aunts and uncles and my mom and dad because almost all my cousins went to Trinity, and I wanted to keep going.
So it's a family tradition. Why is it important to your family that you all get to go to Trinity Lutheran School?
I get a Christian education, and I get to learn about God and tell everyone about it.
Mm. That's great. That's great to hear. Ms. Marotsky, who would you like to thank for supporting Trinity Lutheran School?
Oh, it would be all the parents, the grandparents, mm-hmm. everyone out at Prairie and wherever, and the students and the teachers. So really, it's everybody that has supported our mission mm-hmm. and helping us to bring God's word to the children. So it's the Trinity Lutheran Church.
So it takes a congregation, it takes people, more. It takes parents, it takes a whole congregation to really support a school like this, so that Christian education, faithful Christian education, can happen.
Right.
That's important.
And our church, I'm sorry, our church, it's pretty much a family church, like mm-hmm. they said. Their parents went there, so almost everybody's related to everyone.
I'm in a congregation like that, too. I love my congregation. I'm not related to anybody else there, but everybody else is related, yeah.
No, I wouldn't be either.
But I am very blessed to be in a small congregation like that as well. Well, to find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church and School, we'll post a link today with the program on our website so that folks can go check that out. You can look for it on KFUO.org. You can look under the archives today, later on today or tomorrow, for the archives of today's program for Faith and Family. Find out more about Trinity Lutheran School. Last chance. We've got just about a minute or so left. Is there anybody else that you want to say thank you to, or that you want to give a shout out to? Anybody you want to say hi to before we wrap up, or anybody else?
I want to say hi to my classmates.
Who are all outside the window.
Staring at us.
Anybody else you want to say hi to today?
I want to say hi to my mom.
Your mom. Of
hi,
course.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, students.
Rachel.
Hi, everyone.
Everybody.
Everyone.
Ms. Marotsky, anything else that you want us to know about Trinity Lutheran Church and School before we wrap up our time today?
Like I said, we're a small school. The teachers know all the students, and that I think is very helpful. We know where they all are educationally, and we can help each of them one-on-one. And I just, like I said, I've been there 30 years.
How long has the school been around?
Oh, now you're asking. We just talked about that the other day with Pastor,
questions.
And I don't remember what he said. It's been there a long time. Martin Stefan was a pastor at our church.
Oh, so it's been a long time.
It's been a long time for the church, and we're getting some fingers, but
171
years. 171
years.
That's a long time.
Yes. But I'm very blessed to be there. I really do. In 30 years, I don't think I can say.
Sure.
You can always say not always good times, but overall, it's been a blessing to be in the church and school.
You'd miss me.
Yes, I would. She's my favorite, but they all are.
She admitted it.
Well, I appreciate you all taking some time to come in the studio with us today and brave the weather. I know the weather's about to probably get pretty crazy here in St. Louis, so I appreciate you taking time to come talk with us today and share with us your perspective on your school, getting to attend a Lutheran school. So I want to say thanks to Easton for being our guest today. And Emily, thanks for being here today.
Welcome.
Bree, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
And Rachel, good to have you in studio.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
Ms. Morosky, thanks for being our guest today.
You're welcome.
God's blessings to you and all that you're doing at Trinity Lutheran Church and School. And I hope you have fun wrapping up National Lutheran Schools Week in a safe trip back to school today. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk with our friends from CCCS Lead a Child. We'll talk with Steve Barnes here in just a few minutes on Faith and Family. Stick around.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Parents in Hawaii started complaining about a Planned Parenthood sex education program being tested in their communities and funded with nearly $1 million tax dollars. It wasn't only many parents who were very disturbed, it was teachers as well. As a result, State Representative Bob McDermott and State Senator Sam Slom both requested a copy of the program. In both cases, they were denied. Representative McDermott was told he could look at the program materials if he was supervised but couldn't have a copy. Imagine the arrogance of these tax-funded bureaucrats. The reason they won't let members of the state legislature have access is they know the content is so obscene, opposition will grow and they'll have to cancel the program. Parents, this is happening in other communities as well.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates. I invite you to join me for His Time. We share the daily readings from the Word of God and check in with regular guests.
Good morning, Andy. How are we doing?
We also chat with special guests.
Good morning, Brother Andy.
A guest pastor joins us to study the daily New Testament reading.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing?
Finally, we join together in morning prayer. Begin your day with His Time, 7:15 to 9:30 each weekday morning on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Are you planning a short-term mission trip to share the faith with people who speak another language? Take along the books of the Lutheran faith. Translate it into the languages of the people you'll serve. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation has translated and published books like Luther's Small Catechism and A Child's Garden of Bible Stories into 85 different languages, like Chinese, Arabic, Spanish, and Swahili. Learn more about these free resources. LHFmissions.org.
Jesus shared in our flesh and blood. He partook of the same things you experience in your life. Does anyone understand what you're going through? Yes, Jesus gets it. Jesus understands your life and mine. He gets it. He gets it even more than we do.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
The song whose Oscar nomination was withdrawn Wednesday will be performed February 7th at the Movie Guide Faith and Values Awards. The Christian Film and Television Commission says the song Alone Yet Not Alone from the film of the same name will be performed by Christian disability activist Johnny Erickson Tada, a quadriplegic who recorded it with her husband's help.
There were a couple of high notes that were pretty tough for me to sing, and so he had to press on my tummy and help me just reach for those high notes.
The Motion Picture Academy said it rescinded the original song Oscar nomination after it learned that composer Bruce Broughton emailed members of the group's music branch to make them aware of his submission during the nomination's voting period. Broughton is on the music branch's executive committee and is a former governor for the Academy, but Movie Guide's Ted Baer says,
the reason the song got nominated in the first place is not because Bruce sent out an email, but because it was a good song. It's a very beautiful lyrical song.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, January 31st, and we are celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week. We're celebrating Christian education, a gift from God. And so today, our second guest for the program is Steve Barnes from Lead a Child. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hi there. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Well, I guess it's morning for us still here in St. Louis, and
morning and chilly.
Yes, it is. It is a cold one today. Well, Steve, tell us a little bit about Lead a Child, the history of Lead a Child.
Absolutely. Well, first, thank you for having us on. We're thrilled to have the opportunity just to share about what God is doing around the world through Christian education. And Lead a Child was started many years ago in the 60s by a young missionary couple. And it first started in the country of Guatemala. And they had been going there to little towns and villages and just continued to feel God's call in their life as they returned to these little towns and villages there. One in particular was La Barra, and as it's most often called from their local folk there. But this is an area where you have no electricity, no running water. Each morning the kids would go out to shallow wells, gather buckets of water to bring them in to the homes. And the missionaries there eventually connected with some children in this particular region and were really heartstruck. You know, they had their heartstrings were being pulled to make a difference. And I think the story of Lead a Child is probably one encouraging that we hear from many missionaries where an individual or a group of individuals just are willing to submit their lives to the call of God. And that's what happened here in Zacapa of Guatemala. Zacapa, Guatemala, it's a little town where there was a Lutheran church. They had a sixth grade school, the school's Divine Savior Lutheran School there. And there was a little girl named Gloria that this missionary couple came across, and they just fell in love with this little girl. But she didn't have an education. The people in this area were really intrigued by the stories of Jesus of the Bible and really learning how different that was than maybe some of the things that they had been hearing up to that time. And so they began to continue teaching these stories, and eventually in their continued returns to that area, they felt like God was calling them to help educate these children in this little school there. And the parents were poor and not able to afford tuitions and things like that, so they began a partnership program way back then in the 60s to help fund education for young people. And over the last 45 plus years, one thing has led to another, and now they're reaching nearly 26,000 students around the world.
Wow. So it started with one small village in Guatemala and went from there.
That's right. That's right.
And where are some of the places where Lead a Child serves to bring Christian education to communities like that first little town?
Yeah, absolutely. Today we're in 30-plus countries all over the globe, Bangladesh, El Salvador, Bolivia, Of course, still in Guatemala, Cambodia, Mexico, Nigeria, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Uruguay, Togo, all over the globe. Three new countries we just added last year, or actually this year, is the Ivory Coast, Uganda, which is in Africa, and Chile of South America. And the Lord just keeps opening up windows of opportunity. You know, there's such a need in our world for education, but even more so Christian education, which brings the gospel message with it, and not only gives them the tools and the things that they need to know to navigate through life and to learn professions or trades in their cultures, but they also get the message of Christ that they can then take to their families and those that they come into contact with.
When you start work in a community, is it how is it received by the community, and how do you work with the local people to start a program or to begin serving them?
Right. Yeah, it's really unique in the fact that we because of the national church, you know, through the LCMS, there's lots of relationships that have already been developed in these areas. And a lot of times, you know, the goal of Lead a Child is not to go in with all the right answers and to fix everybody's problems. You know, as Americans, we can tend to do that with people and think that we're going to fix everyone's issues. But really, our goal is to go in and establish, if we don't already have relationships with, whether it be a church or a small school in that community, we try to empower the leaders of that culture to use what God's given them to educate the children of that local community, so that, you know, the kids are learning from teachers who have grown up in their small village, or teachers who speak their language, people who understand the culture and the backgrounds of those communities. It's really just a way that it's more effective that way. And so our goal is really to provide the tuitions for the teachers, because oftentimes in these other countries, the salaries that teachers make is very minimal. It takes about $60 a month to provide a salary for a teacher in these countries. So our goal is to really help offset those kinds of expenses, uniform expenses, school supplies, and then where there are schools that have tuition costs, we try to help offset those costs as well by providing those things for them so that they don't have to carry those burdens. It's interesting that with many of these parents and children, many of the parents, you know, can't afford to send their kids to school. And so how they are subsidized is through Lead a Child, but also so that we encourage independence in those small indigenous communities. We encourage the parents to do something. If they're able to pay for a tuition, then we certainly encourage them to do what they can, you know, whether it be half or a quarter or whatever they can do. Some of these countries, the parents are bringing fruit and vegetables as a form of payment for their tuition. And it's just it's a way for them to have a part in that process and to still have ownership. So we don't want to go in and, you know, overtake it and become the sole person or sole organization responsible for these children's education, but to encourage independence, to establish that not only in the parents, but also help the children understand those basic principles in life that we all learn at one time or another. So that's really how we get going in some of these different countries. A lot of the churches that are already there, we develop relationships with them through local leaders who are trusted, who are reliable, who have been, you know, kind of gone through the passes or through the tests, as Paul says to Timothy, to not appoint anyone into leadership that hasn't first been tested.
With you mentioned that, you know, families being involved, parents being involved in contributing and taking ownership, the community really taking some ownership of the the education.
Right.
How does this Christian education for children, how does it serve and how does it impact the family as a whole in these communities?
You know, because of the variety of countries that we're in, it's really neat because we're dealing with all different backgrounds and cultures and different religious beliefs and different beliefs in God, you know. In many of the countries we're in, they're, you know, the primary faith is Muslim. In other countries, it's Hinduism, like in India. And so you have a wide span of different backgrounds, but the one common denominator through any of these countries is that through Lead a Child, through these local schools and churches in those communities, the one message that is being conveyed is the love of Jesus Christ through the gospel message. And that message does not return void. As Scripture tells us, you know, God's word doesn't return void. It will not return void. And so as these children are learning the basic of Bible stories, you know, the stories of Noah and Moses and Joseph and the stories and the miracles that Jesus performed when he walked on this earth, all these things are being tucked into the hearts and the minds of, and souls of these little children. You know, Scripture says in Proverbs to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he'll not depart from it. And what we're seeing as a result of this in many of these countries is these children are taking these Bible stories and the message of Christ home to their family, and they're sharing them. And we see parents and families making decisions to follow Christ in their life. It's really, it's a pretty exciting thing to see. It's, and no doubt it's a powerful thing to know that, you know, God is using Lead a Child and all the people that support it and all of the teachers and the educators in these countries to fulfill that role in God's purpose through this ministry. It's a great thing to see and very, very encouraging to see as well.
When the children bring that good news of Jesus home to their families, I'm sure that it's just heartwarming, certainly, to hear that the gospel is being brought into so many homes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to connect with the local congregations to help them connect with the local congregations?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the unique things about being involved or having relationships with the various Lutheran churches in these communities is because they're already there and they have a presence in that community. So if there is a family or a parent who has their child in these schools, they already have some idea that these churches are there. They just may have never attended or never made that a priority to be a part of that. And so, yes, many of the churches in these areas are seeing their what we would say membership here in the United States, their church membership growing because the parents who are getting a hunger for God's word, they want to come and hear more of what God has done and how God works in our lives and, you know, how God wants to have a relationship with us, unlike the gods that they have been led to serve and worship. Until they hear about Christ, you know, there's no religion greater, more powerful than that of Christianity, because in all the world religions around, we have, people desiring to have relationships with their God only to be unheard. But as we know in Christianity, it's the only faith where, you know, God wants to have a relationship with his people through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's pretty neat to be a part of that and see how God is growing the church, not the physical church buildings, but, you know, the body of Christ is growing because of that and because of these little children who are being used of God to do that. It's exciting to see.
You've certainly shown us that it takes a lot of people to make these efforts happen, to be able to establish Christian education opportunities around the globe. It takes the partnership of the community, and I would think some of the key figures in this are the teachers. Who are the teachers? You talked about making sure that there are teachers that grew up in that community. How do you prepare them? How do you equip them to be teachers? How do you teach them? How do you prepare them to be teachers of God's word to these children in their own hometowns?
Absolutely. We are actually in the process, as you know, as Lead a Child has grown and developed over the years, you know, ways of connecting with folks has we've been able to streamline some things, and we're always working to do things even better and try to provide training and tools that will help equip these educators to be more effective at what they do. And our objective from the beginning is to, again, not go in and have all the answers for them, but to empower the leaders that are already in those communities. So in many of these communities, some of the larger ones especially, where there are formal education universities and colleges and things that are there where teachers can go and learn. But we do have those students who, have since graduated from regular school through organizations or through churches and ministries that Lead a Child is supporting, that now they themselves are becoming teachers and educators. The first student of Lead a Child in Guatemala from Zacapa, her name was Gloria, a little 10-year-old girl at the time who in the first year graduated from first and second grade. She was just so eager to learn. As she grew older, she ended up moving to the United States and is now has gotten education here. She is a teacher herself. Her husband's a pastor of a Lutheran church in the Chicago area, and so that's some of how we've seen, you know, God work through that. But how the education process has grown is these students themselves and the teachers that are there have a hunger and a yearning to learn more, and so they get plugged into the educational systems of the Lutheran churches there so that they're, you know, fully equipped to do what God's called them to do. And we provide resources that come from the United States, but then are used by the those in that community to teach the teachers how to better do what they do and what God's called them to do.
That's quite a story that her family then moved here, and her husband's now a pastor and still very much so engaged in the life of the church and telling the good news of Jesus. Are there other stories that you'd like to share with us today from your time with Lead a Child and the
we have hundreds. You know, one of the unique things is each year as a part of the accountability process, because we want to make sure that, you know, the schools and the organizations that we're helping support in these other countries, there's a little bit of an accountability process where each year, a couple times a year, they send in various updates on, you know, the students in the schools and, you know, how they're doing and what grade they're in now and what are their favorite subjects and what do they like to do for their hobbies. One of the things we also ask them to send us is, you know, share with us, you know, what's happening in your area and what God's doing. There's many to go with, but one in particular, there's a story of a young man in Haiti who 10 years ago, our executive director, David Saving, met when he was in Haiti, and this boy was 10 years old at the time. And over the years, through missions trips and things that have taken place in that community, William has been there, and every time David has gone back to Haiti, William has seen him and always had that ongoing connection. And now David was able to help William get a job with one of the construction company. And in our American mind, we think of, you know, a huge development, mm-hmm. you know, corporation. But in Haiti, it's not quite the same. You know, they're building smaller structures and things there. But he was able to help William get a job there with a construction company. There's another little girl, 13 years old, who is from Honduras. And her goal is, this was last year we got her story, that she wants to become a teacher. Her name is Mayoli, and she is just so thankful to have the opportunity to go to school and learn, and also learn about Jesus and be able to share about Jesus. And her goal is now to someday become a teacher as well, so that she can do for others what others have done for her. And so it's exciting to see. You know, those are the good mm-hmm. stories. There are some stories that are challenging as well. When I think about Bolivia. We have a church there in Cochabamba, Bolivia, and they're continuing to have, you know, great numbers of people come to the school and go to the churches, but the pastor there, Pastor Rene Mendoza, has asked for additional prayers for himself, his family, the leaders in those schools and churches, because they're coming under attack because of their beliefs. So, you know, while we have, you know, what we would say is persecution here in the United States because of our faith, it's nothing compared to what some of these men and women are facing in these other countries. And so we want to continue to be in prayer for them, because there's certainly lots of difficult challenges there. India, they have, you know, the Hindu belief, and have the belief that, you know, anything and everything can be a god. Where now we're teaching, you know, the stories of the Bible and the faith in Christ, that there is one God, one true God. And so anytime you step out, just as you would know here in the States, you step out and say that there's one God, one way to heaven, you're going to take some persecution for it. And in these other countries where they don't have the laws in place and the protection in place, it can be very difficult. One of our pastors in Bangladesh, his name is Manatosh Banajari, and we all know the story of Joseph of the Bible, who was rejected by his brothers and left for dead and sold into slavery. And, you know, we know that story. Well, Manatosh's story is very similar. It's kind of a modern-day Joseph story, where he was banished by his brothers and family because of his faith in Christ. They locked him in a room for 3 days without food. They beat and tortured him, all because he wanted to learn more and got a hunger for education through some of the schools that were being supported there. And today, Manatosh now is one of the pastors of the church there in Bangladesh, and he's also helping with many of the education sites. We have 22 teachers in Bangladesh, over 300 students in 5 education sites that are now a result of Manatosh's diligence to be persecuted and literally beaten for his faith. Now God's using him to do a great work. So incredible stories like that from every country. And it just, if anything, from this end of the scope of it, it just strengthens our faith and encourages us to just drive on and to keep doing what we can from the United States to help make a difference in the world.
And it does take a lot to make a difference. We've talked about the people in the local community where you serve that partner with you, the local congregation, the families that work together. But from the stateside, it takes a lot to make this happen. What kind of support is needed in order to bring Christian education to children around the globe through Lead a Child?
Well, first and foremost, you know, we would ask for prayer. That is the most intangible but most valuable asset we have. You know, with little prayer, there's little power. With more prayer, there's more power. With much prayer, there's much power to accomplish the work that God has called us to. And so, more than anything, we covet the prayers of God's people to pray for Lead a Child, to pray for the students and the teachers, the pastors that are really the pillars of these communities, that are helping be the bridge between Lead a Child and the various churches here in the United States to these students, because they're there and they have those relationships. So praying for them, and for them to be encouraged, because as you know, and anybody listening to today's broadcast that's in ministry, you know, ministry and serving God, it has its high points, but it also can be very challenging and difficult and, you know, stressful at times for people, and particularly in these other countries where they're dealing with, you know, verbal threats, physical threats. And so we want to pray for them and pray for their needs. That's first and foremost. Obviously, financially is a great way to support the ministry. People can go to our website at leadachild.org. And we have all kinds of different ways that people can get involved from a monetary standpoint. They can, you know, partner with a child where they can have a child in a particular country that they want to partner with for, you know, a long term, so that they can make sure that those kids in that community are receiving a Christian education. And, you know, that's one way to do it. Another way is we have what's called Leading the Way Together. And this is a program where we partner here in the United States with local churches all over the country that want to take their missions program. Maybe they want to start a new missions program. Maybe they want to develop a missions program that they've not had before. And they can do that through the Leading the Way Together missions partner program, where a church can take on the partnership of a school in a particular country. And one element of that that's really unique is that each year we have churches that then go to these schools that they're partnering with and develop, you know, face-to-face, hands-on, working in the mission field together relationships that are invaluable. And so that's a great way to not only allow the churches to be involved, but also that spurs on young people in the United States church to get a call to the mission field or be more open to God's prompting in their life to go to the mission field someday if that's what the Lord would have for them, each people that way. For those that are a little more athletic and energetic, we have a bike club. And this coming up in June, we're going to do a bike across Kansas. Last year, we did bike across Nebraska. Last year, we also took 11 or 12 riders to Guatemala. They literally shipped their bikes over on the plane and rode their bikes 250 miles across the country of Guatemala. And they stopped in the various education sites and cities where we are supporting children and schools in those areas. And I tell you, it was in some of the photos, and people can go to our website and go to our missions blog and look at, you know, some of these stories, but they were like celebrities coming into these cities because the people were so excited and the students were so excited that these riders were going to be coming through on their bikes. And so they had parades, they had kids greeting them at the edges of the cities on their bikes. And so hundreds of little children would be running beside our riders or riding their bikes. And it was quite a spectacle to see how God used that to not only raise additional support from the United States to just keep awareness out there of the need for Christian education in these countries, but really it encouraged the people of Guatemala to want to do it on their own next year. So now they're in the process of organizing rides. And one of the really neat things that took place with that ride was our riders, many of them left their bikes there and gave them to some of the local people in the community. And they just thought that was the coolest thing, to get these American-made bikes and to have them, you know. And some of these bikes were pretty, you know, pretty
expensive. Those are pricey, yeah.
Yeah, and just the shipping alone, you know, you could buy a couple more bikes with what it cost to ship them over there. But it was a great, great outcome. So that's another way. Join our bike club, get involved that way. And even if you don't ride, there's things that can be done to participate in that and be involved.
Sure.
And keep the awareness out there. So there's all kinds of things.
They can check, you know, the website. We'll post a link to the website as well, leadachild.org. We'll post a link to that with the archive of today's program as well.
So wonderful.
We'll do that.
Thank you so much.
And I also want to point out that Lead a Child is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So just in case folks were wondering, you work in partnership with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we're very grateful
That's right.
That. Well, we've been talking with Steve Barnes from Lead a Child today, and it is time for us to wrap up, unfortunately. But I want to say thanks, Steve, for taking the time to talk with us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Andy. God bless you.
God's blessings to you and all the folks who partner with Lead a Child to bring Christian education and the gospel of Jesus to children around the world. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Moments of Assurance right around the corner, so I hope you stick around for that. Thanks for joining us today for Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.